Joining us now from the Press Pavilion in Boston, in fact, from the very same microphone that Governor Vilsack was just using, is Anna Marie Cox. She writes the weblog Wonkette, which is a political gossip blog on life in Washington, D.C. She's been providing convention commentary for MTV this week, and it's good to have you back on Talk of the Nation.
It's good to be here.
This is your first convention. What's your impression?
It's actually not my first convention. I went to the 1988 convention as an aide to the Nebraska delegation. It was the Dukakis convention, and that pretty much turned me off politics until now.
I see.
It is my first convention as a member of the press, obviously, if you can call, you know, what I do, journalism and MTV press. They're treating us as though we're real journalists, which is kind of nice. But it's funny, like, being here with MTV, I was on the floor yesterday with my MTV microphone, mm-hmm. MTV News microphone, and delegates wanted to have their picture taken with me, even though I literally have not yet appeared on MTV.
Really?
I was just carrying around the microphone that said MTV News. So I think they're a little starstruck here, I think, the delegates.
Well, what's been the most, speaking of starstruck, there have been an awful lot of stars, of course, other than yourself.
Well, that I think they've seen so many, they don't even can tell the difference anymore. They, indeed, like, yes, when I was on the floor, we also saw Jerry Stiller. I mean, I didn't even know he could vote. He's, you know, we saw Fred Willard has been wandering around. It's weird. Like, of course, like, Ben Affleck is the big news. He's definitely the most handsome person here, besides John Edwards.
And from everything I read, unavoidable.
Unavoidable. In fact, like, actually, he was in my hotel room last night. I don't know how he got there.
Really?
So Ben Affleck is sort of the very, very hot celebrity. But there are all these other sort of B-listers here, too. I personally am more touched by their efforts to get out the vote than I am. I mean, Ben Affleck, it's easy for him to get people to do what he says, right? But how many people can Fred Willard bring to the polls? I like that he's trying.
Well, since you spend most of your working life in your pajamas writing your blog in your house, what's it like to actually rub elbows with the people you write about?
I try not to get germs. I'm trying not to catch, like, the dreaded, you know, media cooties. I enjoy being here. I've really enjoyed meeting real journalists. I understand that they report. They've taught me how to take notes. I don't think I'll ever actually do it myself, but I picked up some helpful pointers in case, you know, someone asks me what it's like to be a real reporter.
Hmm. Been to any good parties?
No. all the really, really good parties are mob scenes. And to me, like, the idea of, like, waiting in line for a party at which you will stand five people deep away from a bar that will give you watered-down drinks for a chance to maybe see, like, one of the Carey sisters. A friend of mine and I were going to go to this big GQ party the other night, and we were walking there from the Fleet Center, and the line, we could see the line from two blocks away. And we were just like, oh, this can't be as good as what that line seems to indicate. And so we just walked into the nearest hotel bar, and it wound up being where the New Jersey delegation was staying. And I tell you, those guys from Trenton can party. That was a good time.
Anna Marie Cox, thanks very much. Good luck, and we'll look forward to seeing your new repertorial skills displayed on Wonkette.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Anna Marie Cox writes the weblog Wonkette. She provides convention commentary for MTV, or I guess she may soon. She spoke with us from Boston. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And also with us now from Boston is John Ridley. He's a Hollywood guy, a writer, also an author. He's been covering the convention for NPR's Morning Edition. Hi, John. Welcome back to Talk of the Nation.
Thank you. Very nice to be here.
So you've seen 3 days of this big, if not a Hollywood production, almost as expensive as a Hollywood production.
I think Spider-Man is the most Spider-Man 2 is the most expensive production yet. I think this probably comes close to outdoing it. Very impressive.
So you would say from a Hollywood producer's perspective, have they done a good job of putting on? A lot of people criticize it as a show, but is it a good show?
You know, coming into the convention, I thought it was not going to be a good show because it was, as people say, you know, there's no news value. I don't think there was a lot of news value. There certainly were not a lot of surprises. But in terms of executing it within, and I'm just talking about broadcast now, this 3-hour window and making it smooth and compelling, at least in terms of not being a screw-up, I think they've done a really good job. I thought after the first night, when they brought out what seemed like a lot of their heavy hitters. Al Gore gave a really good speech. You've got Hillary bringing on Bill Clinton, who everybody thought was was going to get all these write-in votes. How do you top that first night? I thought it was going to be a bad move. Don't put – you're going to shoot your metaphorical wad on that first night. But they followed it up nicely night after night, and I thought last night – with Al Sharpton mm-hmm. Giving a really terrific speech, then John Edwards coming out, giving a fantastic speech. I'm a little concerned about tonight. I have a feeling it may be a little bit of an anti-climax, as you say in the writing game, with this guy, what's his name again? Oh, yeah, John Kerry, who's going to come out and talk about something.
Yeah. You mentioned Al Sharpton's speech, and a lot of people like the speech a lot, but from a production point of view, he did go from his allotted 6 minutes to something like 23. This causes people to tear their hair out. Watching this as a live production, it's got to be intimidating.
It's one of those things you got to be, as a technical director, you got to be ready to go. It's certainly bad for the production because they wanted to get Mrs. Carey and John Edwards on in prime time. Very important. Got to have this prime time audience. On the other hand, Al Sharpton, I did a piece on it this morning. I reminded a lot of people why the Democratic Party matters and why it matters to particularly to Black America, this core constituency that is kind of ambivalent about John Kerry. So I think that even though he went long and even though it was a technical problem and obviously they adjusted for it, I think it was probably a good move. It's one of those moments where you got to go with it. You got to go with the moment. You got to be ready for it. And they were ready. So from a production standpoint, it was good for them to have Al Sharpton and to handle it well.
You did a piece for Morning Edition this week on the Al Jazeera banner that went missing from their skybox in the convention hall. We talked a little bit about it here on Talk of the Nation as well. Any updates for us?
I have no updates. I think the only update I had a deep throat that I referred to as some chick. And I believe I just found out that it was Anna Maria Cox, who was that person, your former guest. So that's sort of the exciting thing. I've outed my source, or at least my source has been outed to me. Other than that, the DNC has been very cagey about why they took it down. In particular, it sort of disappeared one morning, and they shipped it off, I think, thousands of miles away from here. So there was no chance that it could be retrieved by Al Jazeera and put back up there. As it turned out, though, this is probably a really good thing for Al Jazeera because everybody's talking about it. Al Jazeera is getting a lot of notoriety for it and a little more sympathy, perhaps, than they had when they came into the show.
As you look at this, a lot of writers can't help but see an event like this, and the word that immediately pops into their mind is backdrop. Is this the setting for John Ridley's next book?
Well, I tell you, when you get in there, there is this electricity. There's a lot of excitement. Ironically, I am writing something that culminates in a moment where you have – what's interesting to me is it's the journalists that are all together. In Hollywood, if it's a premiere, it's all about – star sightings. And in here, there is such an intellectual foreplay and sexiness that's going on among the journalists with this kind of this argot that they have going on, their own kind of language, their own kind of motion, where Tom Brokaw is trying to one-up Peter Jennings, and you've got a guy like Dick Parsons, who's just standing around on the CNN platform, the head of the largest media corporation in the world, kind of saying, look, we got down on the floor and the rest of you guys are up in these skyboxes. It's all about, sort of putting it out and measuring it, if I can say that delicately enough that we're not going to get too many emails, and really who's got the most going on. So it's very exciting, and you can't miss the energy that's there.
The first stages, it sounds like, of Potomac fever right there on the River Charles. John Ridley, thanks very much.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
John Ridley is a Hollywood writer and the author of several books. He's a commentator for Morning Edition, and he spoke to us from our convention studio in Boston. In Washington, I'm Neil Conan, NPR News.